Strauss told Oppenheimer that he had examined his FBI file rather carefully and seen nothing in it that would bar his appointment as director of the Institute for Advanced Study.
A formal clearance from the AEC commissioners naturally took longer. It was not until August 11, 1947, that the AEC commission formally voted Oppenheimer a top-secret Q clearance.
The vote was unanimous. Even Strauss, the most conservative commissioner, voted for the clearance.
Oppenheimer had survived his first post-war scrutiny, but he had every reason to think that he was still a marked man. Hoover persisted, despite having told Lilienthal that he would drop the case. In April 1947, a month after the AEC commissioners had decided to give Oppie his clearance, Hoover forwarded new information, specifically substantiating the fact that the Oppenheimer brothers were substantial contributors to the Communist Party in San Francisco as late as 1942. The new information came from an FBI burglary of CP offices in San Francisco that produced copies of CP financial records. In an effort to keep the case alive, Hoover urged his agents to dig for derogatory material of any kind. In the autumn of 1947, for instance, the Bureau's San Francisco office sent Hoover and Assistant Director D.M. Ladd a confidential memo containing prurient material about the alleged sexual activities of Oppenheimer and some of his close friends. Hoover was informed that an unnamed, very reliable individual employed at the University of California was volunteering to become a regular, confidential informant of this office. This unidentified source allegedly had known a number of Oppenheimer's Berkeley friends since 1927. The FBI's informant described one such friend, a married woman, as an oversexed individual inclined to bohemian tastes. The source claimed that it was common knowledge around the campus that this couple were involved in a husband-and-wife trade with another member of the faculty and his wife. As if this weren't salacious enough, Hoover was informed that among her many affairs, this woman had attended a faculty party in 1935, become intoxicated, and then disappeared with a mathematics student, Harvey Hall. Almost as a postscript, the FBI source claimed that at the time of this seduction, Hall was living with Robert Oppenheimer. The source said it was also common knowledge that prior to Oppenheimer's marriage in 1940, he had had homosexual tendencies and that he was having an affair with Hall. In fact, at no time did Oppenheimer ever share quarters with Hall, and there is no evidence that Oppenheimer interrupted his socially active heterosexual life to have an affair with a man. The FBI's own source characterized these sexual escapades, probably quite accurately, as gossip. But this did not stop Hoover from allowing the tidbit about Oppenheimer's alleged affair with Hall to be incorporated into some of the many summaries of Oppenheimer's FBI file.
These summaries were eventually read by Strauss and many other high-ranking policymakers in Washington.
While such material no doubt titillated many officials, it also persuaded some that the information they were being passed about Oppenheimer was less than reliable. Lilienthal thought it telling, for instance, that one anonymous source was described as a 12-year-old boy. He concluded that most of the damaging stories were little more than malicious gossip from pre-war sources, many of whom clearly did not know Oppenheimer. It was an accurate assessment for much of the derogatory information in Oppenheimer's FBI dossier, but it ignored the pernicious effect of the accumulated weight that this now unevaluated information could have on readers who were not particularly sympathetic to Oppenheimer.